coming up on TERP Weekly Edition.
Are you ready for spring break? Well, we can help.
Can a short and graphic video change your eating habits?
And we'll provide an easy way for you to boost your brain power. Stick around, TERP Weekly Edition starts now.
This is TERP Weekly Edition, a look at the issues and news in and around the University of Maryland College Park. TERP Weekly Edition is produced by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio.
Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Tony Herman. After a long, cold winter break, we're back on the air.
And I'm Missy Huber. We're here to keep you updated with the news from in and around the University of Maryland. So turn up the volume and get ready to be informed.
Unless you've been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks, you must know about the men's basketball win over ACC rival Duke. As TERP Weekly Edition's Rob Dawson explains, the event became more than a celebration, on and off the court.
Singler inbounds the ball. That'll do it. The upset is complete. Maryland rushes the court, and they take down number 4 Duke, 79-72.
And that's where the fun stopped. The aftermath of the men's basketball team's victory over Duke was supposed to be a joyous one, but it wound up being anything but. Nearly 2,000 students took to the streets to downtown College Park, causing disturbances all along the Route 1 corridor and several on-campus locations as well. University police spokesman Paul Dillon.
Once the crowd got dispersed from the road, they were on the sidewalks, they were by Montgomery Hall, they were by the Book Exchange, the Bagel Place, they were all just waiting. You know, instead of just going home like normal people would, they wanted to stay for show.
Even though it was a regular season game, the police department anticipated problems might occur because the teams were 1-2 in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Dillon said that the response from the police was swift, considering that their staff was spread out all over campus.
Yeah, it's typical for our staff for a home game because our primary responsibility is Comcast. We put things in place that we could move our officers quickly and get them in their appropriate gear to deal with the civil disturbance.
Some students, though, didn't expect the police presence to be so strong. There were stories of students beaten by batons, hit with pepper spray, and tackled by police. The proceedings led to an anti-police brutality rally on campus the next day. The common denominator amongst the students, the police force was unnecessary and actually escalated the tension.
The cops took what was not a riot and made it into a riot. There were kids out there walking home and they weren't even chanting. They weren't even, you know, making trouble.
Some guy turned around, he got his eyes maced, and he turned around and he was like, whoa, and he got hit with a stick just because he said, whoa.
And it was just chaos. And it seemed like all the violence came from the police.
Questions have been raised about why students who did not participate in any wrongdoing were hit with pepper spray or knocked to the ground. Dillon's answer to the students?
If you're there, you're part of the problem. You may not be ripping signs down or starting fires, but you are contributing to it. And they're, like I said, there's no spectators. Yeah. So stay away. It's not worth getting kicked out of school or getting arrested.
For TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Rob Dawson.
And only one day before that big game and the post-game disturbance, police had another investigation on their hands. A man, not a student, arranged to meet up with people outside Ellicott Hall to buy an iPhone advertised on Craigslist. But as soon as he handed over the money, he was punched in the face and robbed of the newly purchased iPhone and another phone he had in his pocket. Police say this is the first time an event like this has ever happened on campus. They're still searching for two suspects.
It's spring break, and while it's a fun time for all students, trying to secure that off-campus house can be one tough task. Most off-campus students know to lock their doors and secure their windows. But what about those small valuables that make the house more attractive for a burglar? University spokesman Paul Dillon gave some tips to students about securing valuables in the house.
What I would advise is you look at your property in first in order of value and then order of size. The stuff that should be removed is the smaller items that are high value. Okay, because that's the stuff that burglars are usually going to take out. It's going to be easier to take an iPhone, stuff that's easily concealable and can be removed pretty quickly.
Worried about fitting into that bikini you've been dreading all winter? Want to tone up before hitting the beach? The rush to get fit for spring break is on, and TERP Weekly Edition's Mallory Wertimer talked with experts on fitness and well-being to find out the best ways to get fit for spring break.
Spring break!
The race is on to slim down and tone up before jetting away on the much-anticipated spring break.
Whether you're headed to Florida, Mexico, the Caribbean, or another destination, the need to be bathing suit ready and look your best has once again swept the campus. I spoke to representatives of the Center for Health and Well-being, a university fitness instructor, and students to find out some tips on how to get fit for spring break.
I'm going to Las Vegas for spring break, so I'm very excited, and I look forward to relaxing and going to the hot tub and hopefully laying out. So I definitely went to the gym more this week.
Senior dietetics majors Chrissy Turpin and Abby Motes remind students that eating less can actually do more harm than good.
Well, there's really no magic pill as far as burning calories in such a short amount of time. Limit your fruit juice because it tends to have a lot of calories and you get hungry quicker. Actually, what you want to do with your calories is spread them out throughout the day and aim for maybe 5 small meals evenly spaced and some snacks in between. If you can't do that because of your schedule, maybe try for the 3 meals and then have more snacks in between. What happens is if you eat breakfast, say, and then you want to try and push it and not eat lunch and wait for dinner, you're actually not burning fat. Your body's going to try and conserve that fat.
But a healthy, well-planned diet isn't enough. Fitness instructor Mara Irwin tells students about recommended fitness routines that include going to the bar.
Stay busy. To stay active, walk around, do what you enjoy doing. So if you like going to the bars and dancing, do that because that is a workout. If you want to go walk with your friends, do that. If you like running or skiing or something, you know, something of the sort, swimming, that's enjoyable for you. Otherwise, you're not going to stick with it. So just doing that a little bit more to increase your physical activity. That doesn't mean run 4 miles when you've only been running 1. Just means add 15 minutes, half an hour to your walk every day.
I talked to student Rusty Barnes at the gym after a quick workout.
I'm actually not that too concerned about spring break because I'm actually going skiing over spring break, so it doesn't really matter, but I'm just trying to stay in shape in general.
If you were going to, let's say, Florida, the Caribbean, do you think it'd be more of a concern?
Yeah, most likely.
Wherever your spring break plans take you, there are many easy steps to get fit and stay fit by simply adjusting your food habits and exercise regimens. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Mallory Werthamer.
You can find more fitness tips at the Center for Health and Well-being and a schedule for fitness classes at the Eppley Recreation Center.
Mexico is the hot destination for spring breakers year after year, but Terp Weekly Edition's Emily Mechnick explains how Hillel trips to the same destination are vastly different.
University of Maryland senior M.J. Kerslaski and his friends are headed to Mexico for spring break. Like many other students on campus, it's a trip they've been planning for months to get away from College Park. While many of their peers may be headed to the same country to hit up the ever-popular destinations of Cancun or Acapulco, MJ and his friends will be in an entirely different world, Agua Prieta. It is there that he and his fellow members of Maryland Hillel will volunteer in orphanages, rebuild homes, and distribute food in this impoverished border town.
We'll be doing a number of different border and immigration issues. We'll be in a school a couple of days working to build houses or refurbish houses. We might do something with sex and drug trafficking. So, you know, looking at it from volunteer and community service aspect, but also the culture of where we'll be. It's just two miles over the border, but I'm expecting it to be vastly different than 2 miles on the Arizona border. And then we're there for 5 days, and then that Friday we'll come back to Arizona and be there for the weekend, and ideally the plan is to do a volunteering project in Arizona on Friday.
Maryland Hillel is a campus organization widely regarded as a leader in the provision of Jewish services geared towards college students. But MJ insists that the programs are open to students of any faith and even from other colleges. No past experience is necessary either. Hillel has been leading alternative spring break trips like these for the past 5 to 6 years, offering both domestic and international trips during winter, spring, and summer breaks.
Volunteering community service has become a hot issue, but I think it's great to see that Hillel's embraced it. And, you know, in the last 3-4 years, there's been a lot more energy behind Hillel's community service initiatives, and I think that's really great to see.
The 2010 spring break trips offered include Agua Prieta, Guatemala, Brazil, Israel, Miami, and New Orleans. For the summer, Hillel plans to lead trips to Guatemala and Philadelphia, but how affordable are trips like these for students on a budget?
One thing that's been really effective, I haven't used this tactic that much, but other people have, is a thing called Friends Asking Friends. So it's an online program that like through the website, so people can email out to family, friends, or friends at school and ask for small donations to try to build up money. And that's been effective. And also Hillel offers scholarships for people through grant and foundation money that they've received. They're able to give scholarships out.
There are still spots open for a trip to Orlando for students interested in volunteering over spring break. And for those interested in traveling with Hillel for the summer of 2010, should visit marylandhillel.org/alternativebreaks or visit the Hillel located on campus right behind Van Munching Hall. In College Park, I'm Emily Mechnick for TERP Weekly Edition.
Up next, a campus group challenges you to think about what you're eating.
And are you single and looking? On our incredibly diverse campus, keep your options open.
Edition. I'm Missy Huber.
And I'm Tony Herman. University Senate officials have decided to remove undergraduate students from committees dealing with unfair grading. Biology professor Charles Delwich, who chairs the Academic Procedures and Standards Panel, says, "We all value the concept of shared governance, but the work that the committee does is very complex, and having a student on the committee could further complicate it. Students voiced their objections, but failed to change the minds of a majority of those voting."
At Stamp Student Union recently, VegTurps offered a reward big enough to get you something off the dollar menu. The catch? You had to watch a video on food production practices that could turn you away from fast food forever. TERP Weekly Edition's Lisa Curcaruto was there to watch the event. I must warn you, some of the descriptions in this segment are very graphic.
I need money, any money at all, and this can't be too bad, right?
Oh god, I mean it was really bad.
It's horrible. It's pretty nasty. I feel sick.
Thanks so much. Well, we're paying people a dollar to watch 4 minutes of a video that shows how meat is produced in this country, which is from suffering animals.
I'm sure it'll like touch me in some way. I kind of avoid that stuff usually.
Most people think that animals are happy, and then all of a sudden they're dead, and they don't care. And this shows that, you know, the animals are really suffering. But since I can't express that in words the way they can with their screams and their struggling, it's really much better to show a video.
Oh god, I mean it was really bad. Like seeing some of the, I couldn't fathom how some of these workers could like just have like, you know, little baby pigs in their hands. And, you know, like, you know, snipping their ears off, cutting their teeth, and cutting their tails off, and like, you know, while these little pigs are just, like, struggling.
And sometimes it's like, what is going to happen next?
And
like, I don't want to watch
it. Yeah, it was crazy. And then they had, like, they were hanging these cattle from, like, one of their legs and upside down. And they would just, like, you know, take slices at them and shit, and all their blood would just pour out, and they'd still be alive, and they didn't even give them like painkillers.
You know, the fairy tales are over here. You're here to learn, and this is the reality behind the meat and dairy industry.
Shortly after watching the video, Brandon Ray told Lisa he wasn't persuaded. He says he just really enjoys the taste of meat. He then made his way into the McDonald's line.
While the VegTurps want to change your perceptions on meat, another student group wants to change your perceptions on love. What do you look for in a significant other? Brains? Style? What about race? The Multiracial Biracial Student Association recently hosted True Life, I'm in an Interracial Relationship, to talk about dating outside your race. TERP Weekly Edition's Kiana Jones has a story.
University of Maryland students gathered to talk about the change in the dating scene.
I'm in a racial relationship.
I guess I've always dated someone outside my race.
I've dated, whatever you can think of. I have so many doors to, like, to choose from.
There was a time, not so long ago, when there were laws to keep blacks and whites from drinking at the same fountains, eating together in restaurants, and even learning in the same schools. But these days, our generation, it seems like it's changing. Despite the changes we're making, many students admit they still face their parents' old-fashioned ways and stereotypes.
My dad's a white guy, my mom's Asian. My dad, like growing up, he always said, he would make comments like, don't date an Asian woman. He would be a little upset if I did date an Asian.
In my family, usually they tend to like marry somebody of Hispanic background. For the most part, they think it's easier.
I think that if I did bring a white guy home, I think she, or like another race home, I think she'd be surprised, but I don't think there would be a problem.
And other students say,
my parents don't really care.
Their parents don't care. But what about their peers here at UMD?
I actually was walking on Route 1 with my boyfriend, and I was walking past these black guys, and they're like, oh, you couldn't find a nice black dude on Route 1, like right down the street from us. So I just thought that was kind of weird. What do you say to that? You know, I don't really know.
People care. Like, you're always going to see that, I feel like, because of just the society that we're in. But I don't feel like people are like, oh my God, I hate that couple because they're an interracial couple. I don't feel like we're that to that extreme.
For the most part, our generation and campus seems open-minded and accepting to dating outside of the race.
To me, I really don't care. As long as I'm happy, my girlfriend's happy, that's what should matter, girl.
You can't limit yourself, especially if you love someone, so it shouldn't matter.
The times, they are changing. So, I mean, there's nothing really you can do about it. If you're old-fashioned, you kind of just got to jump on board.
From Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Kiana Jones, and I think the King of Pop said it the best. It don't matter if you're black or white.
And if you've stayed awake this long, don't fall asleep now. Our last segment has some good info about how amazing naps actually are for you crazy college kids. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Terp Weekly Edition. We've got two more stories to keep you healthy and strong for the spring.
Last semester, the H1N1 virus swept across Maryland's campus. But with the peak of the flu season behind us, is this still something students need to be worried about? Terp Weekly Edition's Rebecca Goldberg spoke with Dr. Sacred Bodison, director of the university's health center, to find out what's new with the flu.
Many expected the H1N1 virus to continue to plague campus this semester. While those predictions have so far been proven false, Dr. Bodison says that doesn't mean it's gone for good.
It's something we are continuing to monitor, and we notice that there has been a small increase in the number of influenza-like illnesses in the last couple of weeks.
Dr. Bodison says it's hard to tell whether the recent spike is a warning sign for another outbreak.
We're hoping that the number of students who already had the disease, so therefore aren't susceptible, and those who received the vaccine will keep us from having a big surge.
But without any more vaccine workshops scheduled, can students be counted on to get vaccinated?
We'd like to think so. We make the vaccine available almost on a daily basis. So at this moment in time, we don't have any H1N1. However, we still have the seasonal flu vaccine, so they could receive that.
H1N1 took the spotlight once it hit campus, but Dr. Bodison says students should not brush the seasonal flu aside.
They should actually be aware of both of them. In our experience, the seasonal flu was actually more harsh than the H1N1 because it lasted longer.
It's important for students to know the warning signs of the flu.
They're sort of the same symptoms. Both of them make you feel like you got hit by a Mack truck. And if they're feeling really bad, they're better off coming in to be checked than to not see anyone.
But not all students feel that way. Junior Denisha Chase says that despite feeling drowsy and congested lately, she doesn't plan on getting checked out.
I usually try and deal with it first, myself, before I decide to go to the health center. The health center is kind of a last resort for me.
As for whether this may be the beginning of the flu, Chase is doubtful.
I hope it's just allergies. I'm worried, but I really don't think that's it. I feel like I would feel a whole lot worse.
Dr. Bodison says students are much more vulnerable to getting sick.
College students, as I frequently say, kind of live on the edge in terms of perhaps not eating as well as they could, definitely not getting as much sleep as would be good for them. and they're under a lot of stress.
However, Chase is not convinced, as she got sick despite efforts to stay healthy.
I'm surprised that I even feel ill. I try and wash my hands a lot, and I try and keep hydrated, take a lot of vitamin C, drink a lot of juices.
Even though the increase in flu hasn't been a large one, students should be prepared to take extra precautions to keep from catching the flu.
Doing things to build and care for their own immune system is really the way to go.
In College Park, I'm Rebecca Goldberg for Terp Weekly Edition.
Want to get more A's? Try to get more Z's. Terp Weekly Edition's Missy Huber tells us how.
Everybody wants more of it, but too many students don't get enough of it.
It depends on like when I have class the next day. It's between like 6 and 9.
7 hours of sleep.
If I'm lucky, I would say 4 solid, like, you know, profound sleep. I'll toss and turn for the other 4.
There are lots of reasons why college students don't get the recommended 8 hours of sleep each night.
Work and waking up early for school and watching TV.
Socialization, just up socializing, or no, really just watching TV, nothing, or sometimes doing work maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if it's my mattress, it's just, or a pillow. It's just really hard for me to get comfortable.
Tracy Zieger from the Center for Health and Wellbeing says sleep problems are common in students at UMD.
Typically what we see with students that come in for sleep issues are that they are suffering from insomnia, having troubles either falling asleep or staying asleep, and also not being able to fit sleep into their day.
But a University of California, Berkeley study says fitting sleep into your schedule, especially in the afternoon, can improve your learning.
Sleep seems to be crucial for memory formation. Memories of all kinds, not just memories of what you've done or who you've met, but memories of how to do things and conditioning, fear memory. All of that seems to rely on sleep.
The study showed that a group of young adults who slept before learning several faces and names performed an average of 10% better than they did before the nap. Psychology professor Dr. David Yeager says the results do not surprise him.
A 20-minute nap mid to late afternoon will give you an extra 3 hours of alertness. If you don't get proper sleep, you don't remember things as well.
Students agree that naps make them pay more attention.
I feel like when I have enough sleep, I don't worry about anything else but what's going on in class. But when I'm sleepy, I worry about when I'm going to get some more sleep.
Well, it definitely keeps me like more awake during the day, and then I can get more done.
I think just in general, I mean, being well-rested helps you focus and perform better.
So what can students do to improve their sleep habits?
I try to tell people to schedule it in. Make it a priority in your life. You want to limit your naps to 30 minutes, 45 minutes at the absolute most. Don't need to nap every day. Limit caffeine and watch what you're eating, because sleep and nutrition go hand in hand.
And once sleep is a priority, the benefits will follow.
You can improve your academic performance. You'll be better able to concentrate, as well as better be able to plan out the rest of your day. Because if you're making that piece a priority, you should be able to manage your time better throughout the entire day.
If you're still not convinced, take Dr. Yeager's advice.
Naps are good. Naps are great.
In College Park, I'm Missy Huber for Terp Weekly Edition.
If you're trying to make the dean's list this semester, the Center for Health and Wellbeing has a proven effective sleep program on its website. Just click their link at www.health.umd.edu.
That's all for this week's Terp Weekly Edition. Hope you stayed awake. I'm Missy Huber.
And I'm Tony Herman. We'll be back after the break with more news from in and around College Park. And don't forget, you can take us with you. Find our podcast at www.twe.umd.edu.
This has been Terp Weekly Edition, produced and written by students of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism in cooperation with WMUC Radio. Please join us next week at the same time for a look at the issues in and around the University of Maryland College Park.